We're back in order now. We're ready for the county fire warden report. I'm assuming, Will, that you're running the show today.
Shad's no.
Shad's here. He's out.
Oh, is Shad here?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. I'm running the show as far as the replacement command vehicle. He's making me do the.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Work on
I
that.
Thought perhaps Shad was involved in Salt Lake.
No.
Okay, he's here. Okay.
Very he's good. Trying to find out if our 10:30 appointment guy is showing up.
Oh, gotcha. All right. Why don't you do some business then for us, Mary, while we're waiting?
I will. I have a bond for Keith Gingrey, who is the treasurer for, oh yeah, does it tell me? BOCES Region 5.
No, he's from Jackson.
Jackson, this is BOCES 5. Yeah.
BOCES Region 5.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know we are Region 5 BOCES representative for the school board. What do we
have an abatement?
Just one.
Just one, I think.
Thanks, Mike.
Good.
Yeah. I have something just for you to sign. This has to do with the Popo. You saw the Popo email?
Oh, okay, yeah.
That you got?
Yep.
Yeah. I made it as a timeline or something.
Yeah.
Extended it.
And then remember last meeting we signed a contract with Jed Duke.
Yep.
Yeah, well, Jed Duke needed to have his contract in his business name, which is Wind River Products, LLC.
Okay, so we're going to sign it
again. Same contract, only.
And we've already approved the contract.
Yes. I just need your signature, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, I can do that.
Is he officially open now?
Yeah, he's been open.
Hold on, Melissa. I just had someone inform me that they weren't open for the hockey tournament. Don't know.
They weren't open for the hockey tournament?
Well, all the hockey people went over there and there was no food.
Oh, well.
But I don't know anymore than that. I'm just speaking out of turn.
And maybe he's not open because he can't operate the liquor license without this contract.
That's what I said.
And maybe.
That was the case. But I didn't.
That could be.
There's other restaurants.
Yeah.
Well, and they have a concession at the hockey place.
I don't know what that was.
That it?
Yeah.
Okay, excellent.
Like everything else I got is from later.
So. Oh, great. Chad, come on up. You want to bring Will with you now?
Yeah.
Be good. Be good. How are things down in Salt Lake?
Good. And my mom passed away last Thursday.
Well, our condolences.
Sorry about that, Fred.
Yeah, I appreciate your support and your thoughts during the time.
Yeah.
Just trying to get back today and pick up pieces. And
you were able to spend some time with her before she passed, and that was good.
I was.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, well,
very sad all the time.
Offer our condolences to the rest of your family.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Okay, well, I've brought Will Gay with me. He's our training officer. In the budget last year, we discussed purchasing a new command truck. The command truck that we currently have in Kendall Valley Fire Station is a Suburban, and we use it to transport firefighters back and forth from the station to the fire training facility, and then we also use it to when we need, you know, additional personnel. We don't necessarily need a big fire truck, but we need personnel to get in the Suburban, and they'll respond in the Suburban to the incident and just provide some additional people there. The other thing we frequently use it for is when we transport our firefighters from Sublette County to like the Midwinter Fire School in Riverton or the Cody Fire School or different various fire schools throughout the state, we have them load up in the Suburban, and it seats nine passengers, and they can, you know, minimize, you know, the number of vehicles and send them to the various fire schools. And finally, the last thing we use it for is we've got a scheduled duty officer rotation where each one of the battalion chief takes over management of the county, and then for 1 week at a time they're on call and they make sure to respond to all incidents. Will is not only a training officer for the county, he's also the battalion chief for Kendall Valley. And so we're getting ready to replace the Suburban that's up there at, I remember how many miles it has on the rent.
We told them 170,000.
Yeah.
And is what we told the dealers.
Yeah. So for trade-in value, it's 170,000. It's last year we were putting quite a bit of money into maintenance and upkeep, trying to just keep it on the road, and it's time to get rid of it. So what we agreed to do during budget was replace that command vehicle, and I've delegated it to Will to come up with what that replacement should be, and so he's got a presentation for the board today to get some direction and be able to move forward with how to proceed.
Yeah. You quit. You just quit. Stop. I know where you're going. I know where you're having it. So could you have a logo put on there that says Sublette County Unified Fire / County Commissioners?
Hey, this is a preview.
Yeah, this is absolutely all.
And then you can go with flashing lights to your county commissioner meetings.
She has one.
All right, Will, go ahead.
Okay, so we did solicit the two local dealers, E&L and Pinedale Yeti. Of course, Frontier Ford, same owner. So she actually did two for us, and then Chief asked me to get a third one, and I went and talked to Yeti and was able to pick up the Durango from them. They actually have a Ford shop over in, I want to say, Alpine, and he was going to try and get me their bid for a Ford Expedition also, and never got it. So I figured we got the three. So what we did was we laid out just kind of the comparisons of the three different vehicles, the basics of what they had in comparison to each other. Seating again is huge. That's obviously, the Durango is a smaller, narrower vehicle. You're not going to stuff eight firemen in there, where the Suburban's going to be your biggest of the three vehicles and a little easier to fit people in there. Engine block heater we felt was important, just because with our weather, you just never know. You know, I don't know enough about the vehicles as far as the difference between an 8-speed automatic versus a 10-speed automatic. I mean, I was actually surprised when I saw some of the breakdowns on these. I'm like, well, that's kind of weird. Same thing with the engine size. I mean, to me, a V6 is a V6, and obviously the Suburban, I believe, came in at a V8. It's a bigger, more heavy duty. I believe they build those on a 3/4 chassis. One of my biggest concerns about going with a smaller vehicle, and this is why I don't sleep at night, is we do have the hazmat / air trailer. Yeah. We do have the rehab trailer and things like that potentially have to be pulled. Yeah. And I thought about that the other morning. I'm like, yeah, the Durango's nice. It is cheaper. It would be more economical to drive on a day-to-day basis. But if I happen to be that one that was left to pull one of those trailers, I don't think I would be comfortable pulling that air trailer and the weight behind it.
No. But is there any reason why we would do the Suburban over the Expedition?
Why we wouldn't or would?
I mean, you know, because we always look at cost.
Right.
We're looking at $3,000 difference. Is there any reason why the Suburban would be better than the Expedition?
Ultimately, it is. Size-wise, it is bigger. You're going to have bigger,
same amount of people. Though.
Same amount of people, but then your cargo area.
Oh, the cargo.
The cargo area behind.
Larger than a Suburban.
Yeah. And think about width of the vehicles. I believe your Suburban's going to be a little bit wider than your Expedition. So cramming three, or just putting three guys in a seat, you're going to have more width room in a Suburban than you are in Expedition.
It would be a big difference if it actually was a 3/4-ton chassis. If the Expedition's not.
Yeah, and don't quote me, and I can look through these and see, but I'm almost positive the Suburbans come on 3/4.
And then you have a V8
and then,
as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that Expedition not a V8?
No,
it's
a V6. Holy cow.
Yeah.
It sure is, isn't it?
And
well,
then we made...
Oh, but you know, that's an EcoBoost, and that is a dang good engine. Those EcoBoosts are really good engines.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, too, is the fuel economy behind it.
Yeah.
You know, that the V8, you're obviously not going to get the fuel economy that you're going to get on the V6. And
yeah, those six-cylinder EcoBoosts have just about as much power as a V8.
Probably should have spec'd this out at a 3/4 ton chassis, if that's what you need for if you're going to be pulling trailers. That way you could come, because we can't compare these bids with what we have.
Sure.
They don't, they're not all bidding on the same thing.
So if we do that, we would end up, we'll drop and it'll, we'll limit what we come back with.
It would.
I mean, as far as we'll lose the Durango
if you,
and
if
maybe.
You know what you need.
Yeah.
You make it, you spec it that way, and then, you know, there may be local dealers, there may be some that are local, but you put it out to everybody to bid on it, and that way you're not comparing apples to oranges for the next time.
Right.
I don't think the Durango's even in the picture here.
Yeah, it's all, yeah, all well.
Yeah. Right, so I think you look at the...
Yeah, this is interesting. If, to address Commissioner Bowsen's concern, would it be all right to postpone the decision and come back and have three bids from the same vehicle? And
I don't know. We don't have to accept a low bid. So I guess I'd kind of leave that up to you if you have a recommendation to make.
So basically, I just to confirm, just go with basically whatever we come back with, you want to make sure it's on a 3/4 ton chassis.
Well, the question was, wouldn't that be what you prefer?
That's a question to you.
If the potential is to pull those trailers, or we have the potential to pull those trailers, yeah, I don't know that a half ton would do, and I don't know that if I was driving the half ton, that I would feel comfortable pulling that air trailer. Yeah.
Can you verify that the Suburban is a 3/4 ton?
Yeah, let's see. And the thing is we got some specs out of them, but here we go. And I did not see it on the expedition.
So, Mr. Chairman, just as a comment.
Yeah.
Your Suburban can pull trailer.
It's a half ton.
Huh?
It's a half ton, isn't it?
No.
Is our Suburban a 3/4 ton?
It's a 3/4 ton.
Okay.
But we did have to have some upgrades to be able to pull trailer. We've got brakes and stuff.
It talks about forks, but not the.
So you need to have that spec'd into your
tow package.
Yeah, the tow package.
Yeah, it doesn't specify what size.
So these are spec'd with the trailer tow package.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, knowing that we would, that potential was there. Yeah, I'm not seeing anything that talks specifically about the 3/4 ton chassis.
Well, that's up to you, gentlemen.
What do you want to see? What path do you want to go forward?
Well, I guess my question would be if we can go back to Luann with E&L and verify that this particular Suburban is on a 3/4 chassis, do you still want three more bids, or can we go with this one if it is on a 3/4 ton chassis so we know we're getting the weight rating?
I would agree to that.
You would what?
I would move forward on that. If it does meet that 3/4 chassis recommendation, that we move forward with this bid.
And it has the tow package on it. I'm okay with that. I mean, I think that's what you need, is that heavier duty if you're going to be pulling anything with it.
Well, and you might ask her if the excursion, not the,
the expedition
has a 3/4 ton, probably doesn't, but then that would open up consideration on the price difference in the Econo engine or whatever.
Right.
But I'm satisfied with those bids as long as you get what you need, which I think we agree is a 3/4 ton chassis.
Okay.
That sounds good. Why don't you ferret that out?
Okay.
And then come back to us.
Okay.
I'm very glad to see that all three of these bids came from within the county.
Yeah. That's and truly at the time when I was instructed or given the go-ahead to get the bids, it was basically bid an SUV. We weren't being nuts and bolts specific. It was just three different styles and sizes of SUVs and the different price ranges. So, okay. So we'll go do that and then you want us to come back to you and tell you what we found.
Yep.
So deal with the upfit package at that point, or?
Did you explain it already?
No. So at the very bottom, it says the upfit package.
Yeah.
So this is the companies that will, right, once the vehicle, we have, well, the vehicle will actually be drop shipped to them. They will install all the emergency lighting radio systems and that. We'll provide them the radio and antenna, but then they'll do all the install. So it's basically a custom install. The wireless advanced at the bottom is actually who the SO uses.
Okay.
And luckily they came in cheaper or less expensive. Otherwise, we'd be having the discussion over why it would be advantageous to go with them. We have been in consult with Lieutenant Siefkis and communicating with them about all this and what's the best way to go. And I think the plan, especially with them, is they come here and they work on the SO vehicles anyway. And so it would just, it would make sense to have ours built by them as well. And then
they're the low bid.
Two birds with one stone. So, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
That makes sense.
All right. Well, I will get more specifics for you and then we'll do this again.
Excellent. Well, thank you.
Sounds good. Thanks, Will.
Thank you. I'll change gears a moment. We approved three different apparatus in our budget this year. One of them was a command vehicle. Another one was a wildland fire truck. The committee that we established to put together the RFP on that wildland fire truck has completed the first draft of the RFP. My intent was to sit down last week and finalize that draft. Unfortunately, with the death of the family, I wasn't able to get that done and be ready for presentation today. So I just ask for your ability to work with me, your patience, to come back in about 2 weeks from now. I will have that RFP ready at that time, and we can look at a wildland truck at that time.
Okay.
The last thing that we have scheduled, and I defer.
Yeah. Do you want to take care of Tom while he's here?
I think so.
We can do that, and then we can do our executive session afterwards. So. Okay. We're going to move. We'll just move down into our schedule to Tom Whitmer with Pierce Fire Equipment.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Have a seat here. Do you need anything from us to get you ready?
I brought handouts, so I think if you just go ahead and do that, and I'll.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah. It take a while to set up a PowerPoint, so.
This is better than a PowerPoint.
Yeah, you guys can, if I get boring, you guys can flip ahead.
Well, give us the Reader's Digest condensed version, Tom.
Yeah. Well, I'm with Pierce's financing program. So Pierce has a financing program available to all of our Pierce customers. And we've partnered with PNC Bank. And if you folks heard of PNC, they're the fourth largest bank in the U.S. Okay. If you're watching college football right now, they're a big sponsor, college football, college basketball. PNC Park, where the Pittsburgh Pirates play, but it's Pittsburgh National Corporation. They've got one of the largest municipal finance capabilities in the country. We've had a partnership with them. We co-brand it because you guys get bank financing from a very large bank, which means you get really good interest rates, and that's why we partner with it. They give us two account executives, Kim Simon and Michelle Zitko. All they do all day long is process Pierce leasing business. And so when I say Pierce leasing, we offer a tax-exempt municipal lease. I'll explain what that is. And leasing fire apparatus is common. We've done over $1 billion of it. And we average about $100 million a year of leasing Pierce fire trucks. And I'll explain why it's so, why cities, districts, and towns use it. And the reason why they use it is it has some advantages over bonds. And when you do a bond offering, bonds generally require a voter referendum. They require administrative costs. There's a lot of legal fees built in. But bonds have tax-exempt interest rates. This is the same as a tax-exempt municipal lease. And a lease was developed in California in the 1960s. When the office technology boom is happening, California's buying a lot of office equipment, and they're like, we're going to bonds to buy all these computers and everything, and that's where a lease was developed by the IRS. So lease is an alternative form of financing. in addition to a loan and a bond, it has tax-exempt interest rates. And what I mean by tax-exempt interest rates is that PNC Bank does not pay corporate income tax on the interest income, so it passes 100% of the tax savings on to Sublette County. Corporate tax rate right now is 21%. And so to kind of give an example, the interest rate that Pierce could borrow at, you folks can borrow at 79% of that interest rate. So municipalities are tax advantaged, you get cheaper interest rates. So with the lease...
So if you have an entity that does not have the need to bond,
mm-hmm.
why would you lease?
Oh, why would you lease? What is it? I'll go through.
Yeah, give me the nuts and bolts of why yeah. we should lease it. Go through the lease program. That's what we're really interested in.
Yeah, yeah. Leasing conserves cash.
Okay.
So when I go out, I travel over the country. I see just if I go big cities, small cities, counties. The reason why people lease is, one is you don't have the money. And you don't have the money, you have to finance it. And so you can go the bond route. The bond requires a voter referendum.
Right.
That may get voted down.
Yeah, I understand all that. I guess what I'm getting at is if you've got an entity that has the money, why should we lease?
We conserve cash.
Okay, so give me that spiel.
Yep. I'll go through right here. When I talk about conserving cash, I'll go right to the prepaid funding program. Let me start off with that. So Pierce, we offer a prepaid program. If you prepay the order, we're going to discount the cost of the truck because we're using your money to build the truck. And so we ran a number here, and I think this is pretty conservative of this kind of initial spec we're talking about. With Shad here, right now the lead time on that truck's 8 months. So we give you a $20,000 discount. I think it may come in a little bit more than that, but I want to be conservative on it. And so when you lease, what is you pay cash, you lease prepay program, you're going to pay us $735,000.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
And so you're protected with a performance bond. And so that means that if, for some reason, Pierce has been in business 104 years, if some reason we can't build the fire truck, the performance bond takes care of your cash investment. It pays you off. So through the leasing program, we offer the same discount. PNC Bank, if you lease it, PNC Bank steps in, they prepay the order to Pierce, and you finance it, and you finance based on the lower amount financed. So when we talk about leasing, all of our customers take advantage of the prepaid program because you're financing a lower amount.
Mm-hmm. So you finance a lower amount, but what do the finance charges come out?
Oh, I've got some options at the end.
Okay.
Yep. All right. Yep, with the rates. I just want to kind of explain the prepays. How it works is, January, you order a truck. Yeah. August, it's delivered.
Right.
We defer your first payment to the following January.
Right.
And so this is the following budget year.
Right.
And so you're not going to pay until you deliver the truck. You're protected with the performance bond. And now I'm going to go into the lease products here. And this is why folks lease, because when they don't have money, too, is they want to conserve cash. Okay? And the leasing product is popular right now because it line items the apparatus investment in your budget. So I'll give you an example. I traveled to a major city in California. They do lump sum cash purchasing of apparatus. So they paid, I'll give you like $600,000 for a fire truck this year. 10 years from now, based on 3% in inflation, that fire truck's going to cost about $762,000. And so what happens is the city in California is, hey, the economy is based on capital gains taxes. The stock market's going down, capital gains taxes are dried up. They don't have the lump sum cash to pay that truck. And so the city's now line iteming the apparatus investment in the budget because, you know, they don't have to come up with a big lump sum of cash. They have to come up with just a small portion of that cash. And so that's why cities, districts are line iteming the apparatus budget because they keep their fleets current. So we have two different lease products. Lease purchase, we call this installment contract, we're going to call it a loan. Leases have to have purchase options in them. There's a nominal $1 charge. You don't have to pay the dollar. That just classifies it as a lease. And we could finance 2 to 15 years with a lease purchase. Another product we have, about 85% of our customers take advantage of this product. If you want to keep, I always ask people,
if you want to keep the truck 10 years or less, you should look hard at what we call a turn-in lease. Because a turn-in lease, what we do is, this is for counties that put a lot of miles in a truck. Used trucks are based upon mileage. That's the values. They're based upon mileage, that hours of service or hours of use. And so if you're running the apparatus hard, you're putting a lot of miles on them, you're getting into that, what we call the dark side of replace or maintenance. You know, your maintenance items start happening sooner. And so for counties who keep them less than 10 years, put a lot of miles on them, this is a very popular product, because what we do is it's called a turn lease. It's a fleet replacement program. And what we do is you're going to pay to use the apparatus over a certain term. Purchase is going to buy that apparatus back, and then you're going to purchase a new one to replace it. You can pay cash, you can lease it. And I describe real quickly how it works is, we take a look at the spec of the truck, we take a look at the mileage you're going to put on it, we assign a resale value of that truck in the secondary market, we structure that value as a balloon payment. And I have examples here, and I'll show you how that works. But this is just the concept, and I have some hard numbers to give you folks. But that balloon payment, you still get tax-exempt interest. So how this program works is, it's going to lower your payments, right? Because you're not financing 100% of the truck. You're not financing $735,000. You're financing $735,000 less the resale value of the truck. So 18 months before this concludes, the term is up. Say you choose a 10-year term, 18 months before that, we ask you, what do you want to do with the truck? You have a whole multitude of options. And what you say, if I want to keep the truck, I pay off the balloon payment. You want to pay, you keep the truck, you can pay off the balloon payment, you can refinance the balloon payment. If you want a new Pierce apparatus, Pierce comes in, we pay off the balloon payment for you. You order a new truck, it goes into production, it's delivered when the balloon payment, when the old truck's turned in. So Pierce takes out the truck, we sell the truck. If we sell for less than balloon payment, we don't come back to Sublette County and say, hey guys, we screwed up, you owe us more money. That's our risk. Okay? But then, if you guys want to sell the truck yourselves, we've got a county down in California, or Florida. They have a green truck. They have a neighboring county who likes green trucks. They do their own turn-in. We finance the turn-in lease just like this. They pay off the balloon payment themselves. They sell to the neighboring county, and they order new trucks. So at the end of the lease, you don't. If you're done with Pierce, we hope to keep your business forever. But if you're done with Pierce, you know, you just pay off the balloon payment and, you know, sell the truck. It's not a, you know, you can. I was in Texas and somebody said, hey, if I do this deal, I'm, you know, in a saddle and in the stirrups with Pierce. And I said, no, you can hop off the horse anytime you want. So this is a flexible option. We go up to 10 years on the trucks.
Mr. Chairman, let me interrupt if I ask a question.
Please.
So County Road and Bridge is familiar with using a lease buyback program, and I'm not at all versed on it. But
I can explain it.
Please.
So we do a guaranteed buyback. We buy, it's primarily Caterpillar, John Deere equipment. So we do a guaranteed buyback. So we pay a certain amount, whatever it is, for the piece of equipment. And then after 5 years, and they've guaranteed us a certain, I have one.
Okay.
They guarantee us a payoff.
Yep.
At the end. And during that 5 years, you know, they take care of our maintenance and all that type of thing. And then at the end of 5 years, then we look at where we're at. They pay us. Sometimes they pay us more than we guaranteed.
It's a guaranteed buyback, but we made the purchase.
But we made the purchase flat out.
Yeah, it's not a lease.
We're not paying payments. It's not a lease. So we do that. Another thing that we also do, too, we don't do it in our fire budget, but we do it in our other equipment, is we internally finance our equipment.
Mm-hmm.
So I reserve money to be able to make those outright purchases. And they seem to work really well for us.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't leased equipment for a really long time.
So just in to save us a little bit of time here, if a piece of apparatus costs $750,000. Mm-hmm. We're going to save $20,000 by doing a lease?
Well, if you pay cash, yeah, if it's $755,000, I estimate the prepaid discounts at $20,000. Again, I'm conservative on that. You would pay Pierce $735,000 up front. So if you order a truck January 1st, contract is signed, and then money is remitted to Front Range, our dealer, $735,000, that's who's prime on the contract. And that money flows into Pierce, and so Pierce gives you the prepaid discount.
Okay.
If you lease it, PNC Bank pays Front Range, Front Range pays Pierce, and then you get a performance bond within that that protects you. That's an insurance policy. If under a lease, it's a dual obligee performance bond. It protects PNC Bank, and it protects you folks. So I would say, when I asked on prepaid discounts, I would say about 55% of our orders are prepaid. It's interesting because if you break them out, it's the smaller communities, they take advantage of it. For some reason, large cities in their bureaucracy don't take advantage of it. And we're starting to see a lot of them take advantage of it now because it's probably, if you run your numbers, you're probably getting a higher return on a prepaid discount than you are holding your cash. That's something for you folks to look at, but it's generally, that's what we're seeing.
So a question that might not be pertinent, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
And I don't know. If Shad were to put out for bid for a truck, for his apparatus that he's gonna bid that we know, would leasing be an option? I mean, when Pierce puts in its bid, would it offer a leasing option for us to look at to see what, because it could be that it would be something to look at as far as something we haven't done as far as leasing fire equipment in the future, and as opposed to just paying for it and going and
leasing's
having
a tool.
It forever. Because the other part of this is too is that our fire equipment hangs around for a long time.
Yeah.
And those kinds of arrangements make decisions to keep your equipment current.
Mm-hmm. So. I would say that's a good point. Is folks use the turn-in lease because it's a decision point at anywhere from 7 to 10 years. The most popular terms we see is that 8 to 10 years on a turn-in lease for a pumper. For aerials, we look to 10 years because they'll use them a lot longer. But it's a decision point. It's an option. You come up to it, you have to make a decision. And we find, I travel all over, I always talk about customers, they have a 10-year replacement program. Well, the truck's 17 years old. What happened? And, like I said, I mentioned Florida and a lot of the coastal areas, property values went down, tax.
We didn't have any money that year.
Yeah, we don't have money that year, and we got to keep it going. At some point, when trucks get about 100,000 miles, the value really drops off. I can tell you if you go from 80 to 100,000 miles, the value really drops off about half because you're selling a truck for 100,000 miles. There's a lot of people don't want trucks with 100,000 miles on. And so, like I said, the sweet spot on it is about 80,000 miles is when you want to get out of a truck. Has a high residual value, and that's before all major items have to start, may have to be replaced. But you can talk to folks in the industry. We give you, Pierce generally has a higher resale value.
Commissioner Bowsman, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, one of the things we looked at with our road and bridge equipment is if we buy it outright, but we have a guaranteed buyback after, generally speaking, we got a pretty good idea of how many hours a year we put on it. One of the factors we weigh in that is service, warranty service, and there would be questions for Pierce. If we have a motor go out on a truck, what happens? Is that truck down for 6 months? Well, it gets fixed. Is it down for 2 weeks? Those are things that are pretty important for us to consider. I'm not asking for answers today, of course, but in looking at the way we do it with Road and Bridge, service is pretty important in a rural area like this. Mm-hmm. So if you have to wait for a long time and that piece of equipment is down, that weighs into our decision, you know, on who do we go to, what vendor do we use.
I give you examples. Pierce, down apparatus is critical because it's public safety. And so every morning, our president, Jim Johnson, attends the first meeting he attends to is looking at what downed apparatus there are. And then we fill in with like loaner trucks. They're in touch with the local dealer on the service aspects of it. And so Front Range is our dealer here. So they have robust service capability. I'll let Jason explain more on that. But just to show you, like, the service capability, it's like the number one thing at Pierce, because every morning our president comes in and they're looking at if there are any trucks are down, we have to fill in because it's public safety. And so we've done loaner trucks and things like that. If it's an extensive issue, we have done that. And if it's a major issue, we've actually switched out trucks. But it's rare.
Over time, if you yep. have good service capability and you lease it with a buyback, it winds up over time being cheaper than buying a piece of equipment and then selling it at the end and buying another one. Mm-hmm. It saves county money over the years. But that would be something for Shad to look at if he wants to have further discussion in Road and Bridge, see how it works, what Road and Bridge looks at as critical things to look at when you're making that decision. Well, I'm fine with if Shad wants to sit down and do that.
Just go ahead.
So one of the reasons I asked Tom to be here today was just so the commissioners could be aware of the options to purchase the vehicle outright, or if there's incentives for lease, or if there's guaranteed buybacks, or what looks like. Tom's the finance manager. I don't know what's your title.
Director of Business Development, but you call me the finance guy.
So his expertise is in answering those questions. Our timeline is that we're planning to go with the RFP on this truck in January, release that to the major manufacturers. Mm-hmm. And my hope was that we could be prepared for that RFP and include, if we want to ask for, you know, lease buyback options or whatever it is when we release that RFP. But what I was looking for today was how do we make that informed decision and what options are available, and is there a similar program to what Road and Bridge does that makes sense for the fire department to do for our large apparatus or not?
Right. Can we, in that RFP, can we just release that and ask for quotes on lease also, as well as outright buying, and then we can get information from everybody on that.
Get what you need to make a recommendation.
So I think that's the direction we need to go with that.
Yeah. We've seen it when folks put it out, they put lease with manufacturers guaranteed buyback. So that's like the language they put into it.
Right.
I have a question, Chef. Obviously, Pierce has a buyback program or similar or something. Do your other manufacturers have the same program? I don't want to limit ourselves to a manufacturer because of this program. I want to see what they
do. I think your RFP just
opens the door,
asks for both of those if they have
for options. Mm-hmm.
For those options, and you can do that with any company. The company doesn't have the option, it's not in their it's not in their.
I just don't want to limit the
right. Yeah, we certainly wouldn't do that just because only one company offers them. But I think you just include that in your RFP.
But for sake of today's discussion, the benefit of the lease is a guaranteed buyback. Is that, or am I misunderstanding that?
Yeah. We as far as Pierce, we've had this standard program for 20 years. So it goes from the smallest of entities to largest of cities, you know, Kansas City, Missouri, to turn and lease their whole fleet. And the analysis they did was it's really. I can talk about Modesto, California. It all comes down, and it comes down to the analysis of, you take a look at the maintenance cost of existing apparatus, and what they did was in the resale values of the apparatus. At some point, the graphs intersect in which the maintenance exceeds the resale value of the truck. That's what we should get out of it. And so I've talked to a lot of fleets, and they've said anywhere from 8 to 10 years. We had a fleet symposium meeting in Pierce. They all said 8 to 10 years for heavy use apparatus. You guys have a big county, right? How many miles do you put on the truck? Do you put a lot of miles on apparatus, or?
We're not terribly busy, though, compared to other larger municipalities. So, yeah, we travel long distances, but not frequently.
Yeah, that's our issue.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Geographically, we cover a lot of ground, but we don't do it as frequently. So if you can develop your RFP that incorporates both outright purchase and lease options and such, then each company can give you their recommendations on that. I hate to cut you short, but we're running a little late.
Yeah, last page, I have budgetary options for you guys to look at.
Okay.
From the budget standpoint. And it shows you, I gave you our most common options for 5, 7, and 10.
Okay.
From a lease purchase, for 7 years, we're going to guarantee $230,000 by the truck back. If you're interested in a turn lease, we can send you a turn lease contract. I mean, it does have apparatus condition provisions in them. But what we're asking for is a truck that works. We know it's going to be dinged up. We know it's going to be scratches in the paint. Just want it to work.
So the prepay, does that include the interest rates? So when we prepay something, that includes what you were going to charge us in interest?
Yes. Yeah, when you prepay, for instance, the 5-year, $167,000, that's based on $735,000 financed.
Okay. Yeah, so... even if you prepay, you get a $20,000 discount, but you're still paying the interest.
Yes.
Okay. That's what I needed to know. Thank you.
Yep.
Excellent. Any questions here for Tom, gentlemen?
No.
All right. Excellent. Thank you for the presentation, and we look forward to receiving the RFP with you guys.
Good. Got my contact information on here. Put my card. I can have my card.
Beautiful.
So call me, and...
I'll give you a call when we get lunch today, and I'll visit with some more.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Tom. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it. Good to meet you.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. This is a beautiful country here.
Yeah, it is. Where did you come from?
Wisconsin.
Holy cow.
So I don't see any... I don't see any
pills
like this.
Awesome. Thank you very much. All right. I'll entertain a motion to go into executive session.
So moved, Mr. Second.
Has been moved and seconded that we go into executive session in accordance with State Statute 16-4-405A2 to discuss personnel. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.